There's an urban legend about an illegitimate orphan growing up in a small southern town. He dreaded his classmates' taunts, townspeople trying to guess who his daddy might be. Usually, he and his grandmother slipped into church a bit late and rushed out before the preacher could reach the back. But one Sunday, he was a bit slow. He felt the new preacher's hand on his shoulder and heard those dreaded words. "Well, boy, you must be a child of..." The preacher paused as the boy mentally added yet another to his long list of tormentors. Unable to identify a suitable adult in his mental files, the preacher continued, "You must be a child of God. I see a striking resemblance." The preacher patted him on the shoulder, adding, "Now go claim your inheritance." According to the legend, the future Tennessee governor, Ben Hooper, credited that encounter as the beginning of his new life. The legend, however, loosely based on Hooper's autobiography, may or may not be literally true, but it sure speaks spiritual truth. Some 1900 plus years earlier in Galilee, a woman shuffled cautiously into the synagogue. She trudged slowly because of the pain that racked her entire body. It had all begun so long ago that she could barely remember. Her lower back hurt, but it had hurt a wee bit less if she leaned forward ever so little. As the pain got worse, she had leaned forward yet a bit more to relieve the pressure. She used to be able to straighten up with some difficulty, but that was long ago. She was now bound with invisible chains, chains of calcium now hardened in her spine. 18 long years, they're considered her a cripple. 18 years, longer than some here have been alive, or married, or working, or retired. That Sabbath, as she shuffled through the streets, she had noticed every pebble, every crack under her bare feet, every chicken track in the dust. She could hear the chatter of people hurrying past her, though no one spoke directly to her. She could not see much above their knees, though she knew almost every one of those voices hurrying by. When finally she reached the synagogue, she slunk into the back along with the other old women, the widows, and the outcasts. That's where she belonged, out of sight, because her condition had brought dishonor to her family. "If she were righteous," they said, "she wouldn't be bent over. God must be punishing her," they said, "for some undisclosed transgressions." If only they would look into her eyes, she thought, they would know that that was not true. But they didn't. She was only the top of a head, someone to be looked over and ignored. The spirit that had crippled her body had disrupted her relationships and paralyzed her soul. There was a guest in the synagogue that Sabbath morning, Rabbi Yeshua from Nazareth. Barely had she entered the synagogue when Yeshua interrupted his teaching, pointed to her, and called her forward. She didn't realize that he was speaking to her until the widow next to her poked her and told her that he was calling her. It took her a few minutes to shuffle forward, each step risking more excruciating pain. But what happened next made all that mere memory. As she reached the front, he spoke, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." Her body might be misshapen, but her hearing was still good. She had barely moments to ponder what that might mean before she felt his hands upon her bowed head and felt a charge run through her spine. Instinctively, she straightened up and realized that for the first time in 18 years, she could stand straight. Gone was the stoop. Gone was the pain. As she raised her hands in praise, gone too was her cane, which fell clattering to the synagogue floor. So excited was she that she didn't pay much attention to the synagogue ruler, his anger, or his rebuke of Yeshua. What she did hear were Yeshua's words. "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" Daughter of Abraham, that's what he called her. Not old woman, not cripple. Daughter of Abraham and Sarah, daughter of the promise. And she remembered again those cherished words she had heard the rabbis read from the scroll of Isaiah. "But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned." Yes, she had passed through very deep waters these last 18 years. She had shuffled painfully through searing fire. But now she had heard an echo of those ancient words of promise. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Daughter of Abraham, you are mine." How could she but help praise the Lord? All that happened almost 2,000 long years ago in a distant land among people of a different culture, climate, and even faith. Yet it happened again yesterday, and it can happen again tomorrow. And here we are this morning to invite Jesus once again to set us bent folks free. As I think about that congregation in Galilee and this congregation in Saskatoon, I am reminded of Ken Miedema's song, "If This Is Not a Place." And the music is going to play, and I'm going to read the words plus an additional verse. Where can I go to cry? If this is not a place where my spirit can take wing, where can I go to fly?
My spirit can take wings, then where shall I go to fly? I don't need another place.
If this is not a place where my questions can be asked, where can I go to seek? If this is not a place where my heart cries can be heard, where can I go to speak? If you know Ken Miedema, he's a blind musician, a wonderful musician, and has written many wonderful songs, and is a real inspiration to hear. That synagogue was not supposed to be such a place, except that Jesus came and heard the heart cries of a daughter of Abraham. I suspect that there were a fair number of other bent and bound folks there that Sabbath morning. The leader of the synagogue was a man well bent out of shape. Angry is the word Luke uses. This seemingly righteous man cared about the scriptures, about holiness, about observing the law, about keeping decency in others and order within his synagogue. He quotes correctly the good book, Exodus, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath. But he interrupted. The scriptures, tradition, the exhaustive rabbinic compendium of Sabbath legalisms seemed all on his side. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath, he kept saying to the crowds. But wait a minute. The synagogue ruler implies that the only reason she is here in the synagogue is to be healed. It is bad enough that he probably never took notice of her there, never offered to help her get water or wood for her fire, that he dismissed her as a mere cripple. He overlooks the fact that it was Jesus who took notice of her, who called her to come forward to be healed. Yes, that synagogue leader has allowed his reading of the scriptures to bend him away from scripturally mandated compassion for the widow, the orphan, and the fatherless. It's apparent that the synagogue leader was far from alone in his rigid insistence on his interpretation of the law. All his opponents, Luke says. The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. Jesus declared by his teachings and actions throughout the Gospels, in keeping with the emphasis of Micah, Jesus urged that true religion be renowned for doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. What a contrast with a religion that majored in minutiae, arguments over whether one could carry a whole dry fig on the Sabbath. Then we have the congregation gathered that Sabbath morning. Luke tells us only that the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. We know less about that specific crowd than we know about human nature through the centuries. We know that there would likely have been plenty of others bound and bent. Given first century Jewish understandings, there would have been those bound by prejudice and judgmentalism, dismissing this woman as judged by God, deserving of her fate. There would have been those bent by their personal choices, their family upbringing, personality traits, those bent by their inner voices full of shoulds and musts and can'ts, their versions of the shame-blame games. Their bound and bentness may not be so visible as this woman's, but it is there all the same. C.S. Lewis speaks of sin as being bent, misshapen, not the way we were made to be, and not fit for our intended purpose. Martin Luther defined sin as being self curved in on the self, unconcerned for neighbor or God, so focused on ourselves that all we can see is our own feet. That woman, bound for 18 long years, demonstrates in her physical being the spiritual reality of many others in her congregation. Then Jesus enters her story, our story. The power of Jesus entered their congregation and ours, ready to be unleashed for any who wanted to be straightened, to be set free. Jesus thinks and speaks of her not with a label like cripple or demon-possessed, but as daughter of Abraham. Woman, you are set free from your ailment. When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. As a congregation, as individuals, we may feel bent or bound. Our eyes may be bent more toward our feet than towards the heavens. But then into our synagogue steps Jesus. He sees our pain, how we are doubled over with it, bound and bent so badly that we can see only the dust beneath our feet. Jesus speaks to us as to that daughter of Abraham so long ago. Daughter or son of Abraham and Sarah, child of God, you are set free. Let us go and claim our inheritance. May this be a place where our spirit can take wing, where we can go to fly. May that be our story.